claim, and it is true that this is the holiest of all Christian celebrations. Christmas is good, but it's not as holy as Easter, because they never did this celebrate that. But so that consciousness, we you know, one of the toughest things to do, people don't understand this. That's why I sometimes I shiver when somebody says he's a pastor. You know, it's tough to do what I'm doing, you know, or what any pastor is doing. That's why sometimes you see many pastors become a motivational speaker, because that one is easier. You are not responsible to anybody. You know, it's like when you have university, you have the external determines what happened there. They have NUC, they have accreditation, they check all those things so that it always balances up. You just can't do anything you like in the school. That can be done for CREC, but you can't do that for university. There must be standardized procedure. And you know, today, anybody can open a church. Anybody. Anybody. I mean, if you have a call, you get some instrument, put it over there. But at best, the work of a pastor is like an agent of a house. It's not the owner. And the owner has certain things you want to get done. You work for him. You are not just call it your house. You just can't do anything you like. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1. Give us an NLT. So maybe this will help us. So look at Apollos and me as what? Mere servant of Christ. You see, somebody, you look at all the churches with Gio and co, even Gio himself is accountable to God. And Gio will give account, and the pastors will give account, and everybody will give account. So he said, who have been put in charge of explaining God's mystery? That's where our work is tougher. Our work is tougher because we have to explain God's mystery. That's not our own. It's like, teach according to the standard. Look at next verse. Now, a person who is put in charge as a manager must be what? Faithful to who? The person who appointed him, not to the people that is put over. He must follow through. Next verse. As for me, it matters very little how I might be evaluated by you or by any human authority. For instance, you know, the university here will not be judged and accredited by University in Benin Republic. It's not under authority of Nigeria. Look at it. Even I don't even trust my own judgment on this point. You know, Jesus will come back again and take all of us. We celebrate that he died, but he's coming back. And when he comes back, he will follow what he gave us, and he will not do anything else. Like now, university, you have your accreditation, you have your, you see what you do, you don't do it, throw you out. So, it's a tremendous responsibility to stand up over here and to say things that you just can't say anything you like. So just hold the microphone. That's why sometimes it's better to be a comedian or a motivator than being a minister of the gospel. It's easier because you're going to give account. Hallelujah. I'm not trying to scare anybody. If you want to call to be a pastor, well, it's just more than holding a microphone. Is that you are given an assignment and he will come and ask how those things are done. So you don't see this, but I need to let you know that I'm on the edge all the time. I'm on the edge all the time. I'm on the edge to see that I do according to what is in line. So I'm not a restful man. I'm not packed. I'm afraid. That's the word I can use. Paul said, when I missed you, look at 1 Corinthians 2, I want to let you see this. Verse 1. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1 says, I want you to have this sense because you are not responsible to me. Jesus Christ is one. And I, brethren, when I came to NLT, thank you. And when I first came to you, Deborah and sisters, I didn't use lofty words and impressive wisdom to tell you God's secret plan. Call it mysteries, God's secret plan. Next verse. For I decided that while I was with you, I'll forget everything but keep to the syllabus. Except who? Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified. It's very easy to get away with everything else and forget the main essential thing. Next one. I came to you in weakness, timid, and trembling. Of course, you see, I talk bold, I speak tough, but I still have this weakness. I still have this. In fact, King James says, look at NKJV, he says, and I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling, that I don't get off course. It's difficult, you know, because if you are the pilot and you are flying the plane, those who are sitting at the back, they are cool, they are nice, they are going somewhere. But you that are steering the pilot, it's a big responsibility, because if sometimes you just get off 1 degree, you find yourself in, you're going to Lagos, you find yourself in Togo. Just 1 degree off. You know, so tonight, I want us to maximize this moment, and we must be responsible to Jesus. So, as we gather tonight, as we walk at this service, as we're going to take communion, I want to leave an impression on you that this whole thing is about Jesus. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. It's Jesus that gathered all of us together. And he wants to be magnified among us. And what I'm going to say now is very critical in the sense that if you look at the whole of the dying of Jesus and being crucified and rose again, there is a token that is left behind for us. It's called the blood. Are you hearing me? The blood concept in Christianity is amazing. The blood. We use the word blood, blood. The only thing that was left over that we can refer to, of course, Jesus' body had risen from the dead. I mean, now it's alive, well, because we break the bread, but it's no longer broken in the body. But his blood, his blood is an everlasting blood. So that blood, in fact, somebody was saying that there was this church of Satan, you know, devil has own church. In America, they do anything. So this church, they have their songs, they do everything. They use the name of Jesus, but they never mention the blood. Because the defeat of the devil is at the death of Jesus. And the death of Jesus, the only thing to say that Jesus died, that his blood was shed. Are you hearing me? The life of an animal is in his blood. So, tell yourself, the blood of Jesus is important to me. The blood of Jesus is critical for my salvation. So, you know, tonight, let's do the curriculum. We're going to open our Bible and just look at the blood of Jesus. Huh? And see what that blood, standing for the death of Jesus, what is done. We are bloody people. Are you hearing me? I say, it was bloody. We deal with the blood. Let's go to 19th Gospel of John. 19. I'd like you to see this. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus. Let's look at the first one. Really very, very interesting and amazing. Are we there? This one, Jesus about to die, verse 28. Let's look at his screen, John 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things, this is on the cross, all things were now accomplished that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. That's on the cross. Around 3 o'clock. Let's keep reading. Now a vessel of sour wine was sitting there, and he filled a sponge with sour wine. Put it on his put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It's finished." And bowed his head. He gave up his spirit. He died. Next verse. Therefore, because it was the preparation day, that was before Passover, that the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day. The Jews should never leave anybody hang on the cross a whole night long. They remember the evening, but on the day's closing. The Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken, that they might be taken away. The death by crucifixion is the worst kind of death to die. You don't die immediately, you die slowly. You die with every pain and every struggle. And it's a slow death that sometimes you don't fully die, then they come and, Roman custom, break your bones. They break every bone in your body if that need be to until you die. So Jesus had two people crucified beside him, so they came. Next verse. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who was crucified with him. But when they got to Jesus, next verse. When they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, he didn't break his legs. Interesting. You'll see the reason why in a minute. Next verse. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. It is coagulated, you know, or that the way you are even structured to crucify like that made your death to be much more agonizing. So when the press said, blood came out and water. Next verse. And he who has seen has testified, and his testimony is true, and he knows that he's telling the truth so that you may believe. You know, later some people came up that were Christians, and Islam also bought that idea that Jesus didn't actually die on the cross. He didn't have a human body. That he's just like a phantom, like a ghost. Muhammad wrote in the Quran that Jesus didn't actually die on the cross. That he was like a magic idol. Then Ahmadiyya, Ahmadiyya movement. Ahmadiyya movement went step further. That's why today they cast him out of Islam. Ahmadiyya said Jesus struggled to come out of the cross, ran down, went to go and die in India. I went to Muslim school. So Ahmadiyya had to change to Awaru Islam, something like that later, you know. So it became that Jesus didn't die, it was his spirit. How could he die? But he came with flesh and blood. So when they pierced his side, blood actually came out that he was a human man. God who became a human. What's happening? What did you do? All right. It's already sounding good. I'm okay. Oh, can you hear me very well? Over there too? Thank you. All right. So, look at next verse. For these things, now follow now. Why were they doing all those things at the cross? Why are they piercing? Why are they breaking his leg? For these things were done that the scriptures be fulfilled. Psalm 34, not one of his bones had been broken. So they didn't touch his bones because the Bible said thousands of years before, and he's dead. His body will not be broken. His bones will not be broken. One more. And then, next verse. And again, I ask you to say, they shall look on him whom they pierced. So instead of breaking his bone, they pierced him. So, and that blood flowed out. Now, I'm going to tell you later that Jesus' blood was taken by him later. Jesus took his blood to heaven. You know, he took it to heaven when he rose from the dead. Took that blood to heaven. Now, when he's coming back, he has a robe that's dipped in that blood. You know what I just said? That blood I took to heaven before the throne of God, he's having a robe reserved that is dipped like they do all this thing at Itoku. What do you call it? Tie and dye. So they took that robe that he's going to wear when he's coming back. It's dipped in the blood. come and see. Revelation 19, verse 11. So the blood is an eternal thing. Now, the heaven, now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called what? So tell your neighbor, there'll be animals in heaven. There'll be what? A horse, white horse. He who sat on him, and that was called faithful and true and righteousness. Judges and makes war. Next verse. Look at it. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. Now look at next verse. This book of Revelation. He was clothed with a robe. What? Dipped where? And his name is called. So we know who that one is. What's his name? Jesus. So that robe, that blood that is shed on the cross, this robe has been dipped in it. And this robe is waiting for that day when it will come breaking through the sky. Clap your hands for Jesus. Amen. So this blood is very important. So let's take some time and look through about the blood of Jesus. Write some things down. We're going to follow it step by step and see about the blood of Jesus. So be with me. Let's go. I wrote them down so I will not miss them. Let's look at the first one I wrote down over here. What's the blood for, first of all? Romans 3:25. Let's look at what the blood is for. Romans 3:25. Whom was talking about Jesus there? Give us, okay, good. Let's read from verse 24 to make it clear. Talking about Jesus. He said, we are being justified freely by his grace through what? That is Christ Jesus. Look at this verse. This Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation. The word propitiation is the word for a tutu. To appease two partners at war. So, God used the blood of Jesus to settle between us and God at war. God shed the blood of his own son to settle the war between us and him. He said, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness. Because you see, what is war after? What is war? What is war? War is to go and destroy you. So he destroyed his own son, shed his blood, settled us. So he doesn't have to look for our own blood anymore. He's gotten the blood of his own son. Got that? Did you get that? Instead of looking for our blood, he took his own son's blood. So we don't have to offer our blood anymore. Make some sense? So that is called propitiation. Let's look at it in NLT. Maybe it makes it clearer or we mess it up. Let's look at NLT. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life. Doing what? Shedding his blood. Now, what's that blood sacrifice for? This sacrifice of blood shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in time past under the law. Next verse. And for he was looking ahead and including them in what he would do in this present time. So God did this to demonstrate his righteousness for himself, his fair and just, and he declares sinner to be right. You see, somebody has to pay. Because sin is a main thing between God. You see, I'm doing my job now because that's what I'm asked to do. I could talk about something else. Talk about Obi and Tinubu and Ku. I'm prophesying what will happen next. That's not what I was called to do. I was called to talk about Jesus and his blood, revelation truth. You see, all that thing is gone back, now it's gone. But this one stays forever. Politics is nonsensical compared to the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Whether Atiku or Tinubu or whatever, all of them, they are nothing to be compared beside Jesus. But this one sounds not interesting, right? So number one, is the word propitiation, etutuese, to settle between us and God. So God can look at that blood and say, settled. And we can look at that blood, and we can see God settled with you. Praise God, somebody. Let's look at next one. Romans 5, verse 9. Another one. And since we have been made right, look at that word. We have been made right in God's sight. How? By the blood of who? So, you are made righteous by the blood of Jesus. Wow. If you look at NKJV, it says, since you have been justified, much more than having now been justified by his blood. Look at what is. Let's read after that. What did he say after that? I'm not hearing your voice. We shall be saved from wrath. Now, wrath is all the mess going up in this world, the wrath of God. You know, are you listening, everybody? You know, many of us never know about the wrath of God. All we know is about the love of God. In fact, are we here, everybody? Are we here, everybody? In the book of Revelation, God's going to bring seven angels and he will put all his wrath for eternities into seven bowls. You're not getting the meaning now. He put all his anger into seven bowls. When those angels come out in heaven with the wrath of God, there was a silence of 30 minutes in heaven because it was heavy. And then they carried these seven bowls of wrath and poured it upon this planet and on the physical creation. And then when they poured the last one, God said, then it's finished, the wrath of God. God will never have wrath again for anything in the universe in the future. He's going to pour out all the wrath. But right now, we are saved from wrath. Clap your hands, oh Jesus. We are saved. The wrath of God is Satan at work. The wrath of God is outside God's boundary. You know, when you are within the blood, God wink at you and likes you. But outside the blood, you are useless. You are no good. And you make God angry. So, the blood of Jesus gave us to become right. And we don't have to suffer the wrath. Right. Not to suffer the wrath. Next one. 1 Corinthians 10. Verse 16. We're looking at the blood. First one, propitiation, it will say. Second, justified, saved from wrath. We're looking at the blood of Jesus. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of what? Of the blood of Christ. How many of you have watched film over here? You have watched all these Nigerian films, particularly Nigerian films, where somebody doesn't have money, is struggling, then the friend says, let's go to Goa somewhere, we're going to enter into covenant, right? Huh? And then they will say, no, but he said, yeah, journey. Then they will take him and they go to this place, usually like a palo, you know the thing now. Then there will be this one that will sit there like that, looking like either a woman or a man, fire on his head or something. You see all these big, big millionaire guys sitting down on the chair and you look at them and say, huh? Can I see me back? The guy will push you and say, that's where their money come from, right? I don't want this to. You can't go out anymore. You are inside here. Then they all locked down, start doing some, oh, yum, 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 something. Then they put blood in a bowl at the middle or somewhere and ask you, who brought you? And then they say something. Then they carry the thing and ask you to drink. You're like, the guy slap you and say, take it. What do you want? What do you want? You don't want money? Then when you finish drinking, they said, you have 5 years to live. You can't see, you can't undrink. You have drunk already. And then, you know, 20 years, or you bring your brother or bring somebody. And then you get to him, you open your wardrobe, and money just starts rolling out. You know, that's film. That's what's making all these boys to be doing all this Yahoo Yahoo Plus. Huh? They partake in that communion of blood. We have the highest communion, the blood of Christ. Hallelujah. See, when we come like that, we are also doing our own. And it's not in a physical bowl. It's an eternal bowl. And it's the blood of an eternal Son of God, Jesus Christ. And we are partakers in that blood. That's why you should never participate in any other blood sacrifice. The one you got is the best, is final, is forever. Come on, clap your hands for Jesus. Amen. The secrecy of Christianity is in the blood of Jesus. Look at that verse again. The cup of blessing, which we bless, is it not the communion? So all our blessing come from, see, those guys, when they do that film, after I take that cup, drink something, all the blessing of money in quotes is coming through that. Am I right? So tell yourself, all the blessing from heaven to me on earth, the blood of Jesus is offering me. Do you know that? Can I surprise you? Medically speaking, those who are medical people via pharmacy, medicine, and physiology and code, you know that the blood carries all the nourishment for the body. Everything you eat has to go through your blood to your legs, to your legs, to your arms. Everything you eat, it cannot pass any other way. Doctors, am I right? Everything is in the blood. You cannot have, you see, when you eat amala, amala can't go to your veins or to your cells. That blood will take the thing, break it down, and then take it down there. The moment the blood is cut off from any part of your body, gangrene steps in. Death starts taking place. So we are participators or participants in the blood. And the blood is flowing to us and we are alive in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right. Let's look at the next one. Oh, I love this one. Ephesians 1:17. If you're looking at the blood of Jesus, so we know what we are participating in. Take a look at this. Ephesians 1:7. In him, we have what? Redemption. Through what? Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Let's have it in NLT. What did he say? Almost saying the same thing. He's so rich in his kindness and grace that he purchased. So that word, redeem, is the word for purchase. You know that when they do some kind of bonanza, they will tell you there is a glue or something, there is a redemption center. Am I right? Am I right? Then you go down there and then you present that paper and they give you a motorcycle or a generator or a car. Right? They don't give you a car like that. You do. Okay. All right. So, the word redemption means we have been purchased. Somebody has paid our ransom. Praise God, somebody. Satan has no right to hold us to anything. Whatever thing that your parent, your grandparent, your country has engineered for your life, Jesus has paid for your freedom. He purchased what? I'm not hearing your voice. Purchased what? So this blood is the price over our head. Say that with me. The blood of Jesus is the price over my head. Somebody ask you, how much do you worth? The blood of Jesus. Praise God. That gives us not only freedom, it gives us legality. Let me explain that. When you go to electronic shop and you purchase a TV, Emmanuel & Co, you buy from them, and they give you a receipt. That means paid for. When you take it out and policeman stops you on the road, said, who is the owner of the TV? What do you say? Me. Give me a proof. The receipt. God help you if you don't have receipt. That TV will become what they watch at the police station. At that time. When you present the receipt, the policeman has no more right to hold you to anything. Now, our receipt over our life is the blood of Jesus. Pastor, why blood? Because your life is also blood. A human life is in his blood. So the blood is our price. Say that with me. The blood is my price. My price of freedom from Satan and all his works. I plead the blood. Have you ever before? I plead the blood. When we say we plead the blood is that we invoke our receipt. Praise God, somebody. You pull out your receipt. Policeman, I beg. This is my receipt. Okay, make you go. Can I make you laugh? Years ago, we were going to Benin. Solomon is somewhere there laughing now. And You have all those papers in your car, you know. So we had papers in our car. And we are almost entering Benin at night. We had terrible hold up in Ore. And then we got to Benin. About to enter Benin, they stopped us. And I said, Solomon, bring out the papers. And lo and behold, papers were left in Abeokuta. But we are in Nigeria. You can always escape. Oh, I'm a pastor, Ejo. It might be known. Oh, pastor, okay, all right. But they kept us down for some time. Huh? You see, the papers, they are not the car, but they show authority over the car. When a Christian forgets that he's been purchased, he will put his neck under any bondage. When you have a dream at night that something is going to destroy your life, you should wake up and say, I've been paid for. Praise God, somebody. I said, praise God, somebody. Let's look at next one. I love this one. Wow, beautiful, beautiful. Ephesians 2:13. The blood, what does it do? Wow. But now, you have been united with Christ Jesus. Now look at this one. Once, you are what? Far away from God. But now, you have been brought near to him through what? Oh, people don't see this a lot. You know, we grew up to believe you can just pray. Just pray to God. Anybody can pray. That sounds good. But actually, there's a right of approach that will give you right before God. It's the blood of Jesus. We just don't come like everybody else to God. We have a right of approach. The blood of Jesus, you should never say again in your life, I'm far away from God. You should never say that with your mouth. You can say, I want to get closer, but you're not far away. Because when we are in the house, we can go from parlor to bedroom. Am I right? But we are still in the house. But you're not outside, Sakmo, at the house. No, 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 no. So we're no longer far away. The blood of Jesus, as when you wake up in the morning, you should not say, oh God, where are you? No, you are near. Ah, pastor, any anointing called the blood of Jesus. You know, let me show you what I'm about to have. When you go to ATM, the moment you put your ATM card there, the ATM is far away from you. The moment you put the password, what happened? It just welcomes you. It says you're welcome. So, every time you get up to go to God, it has been settled that you have a right of approach because of Jesus' blood. Do we get that? Do we get that? Nothing should keep you away from God because he has shed the blood. Is that right? Pastor, what about if I sin? The blood paid for your sin. Clap your hands for Jesus and say, amen. You can come. So come near. Now, we are no longer coming like this. Let's go. Psalm 15. Take a look at Psalm 15. Verse 1. Quickly, let's do that. Our time is running. Who may worship in your sanctuary, Lord? Who may enter your presence? Let's give us NKJV. Make it quite interesting more. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? Next verse. He who walks uprightly and walks righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. Next verse. And he who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up against his friend. Next verse. As a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He who shall to his own heart does not change. Next verse. He who does not put out his money at usury does not take bribe against his children. He who does this thing shall never be moved. Next verse. Is that the end of the verse? That means we are doomed. Anybody here? You have kept all that. But the blood is speaking. Praise God, somebody. See, all kinds of things that we don't know a lot about so much. But here we are. We can come by the blood of Jesus. Have you noticed that you came by the way of the blood into the world? Every one of you, you are born through blood. If there was no blood, and there was no blood that day, you're not a human being. Your mommy was shedding blood. Blood was going everywhere. Huh? and then they cut you, they pull you out, or they pull you from other top or down, they pull you out, and your blood is start washing you. And if you don't have blood, you came bathed in the blood of your mom, and you come into heaven bathed in the blood of Jesus. Praise God, somebody. Praise God, somebody. And nobody looks at a child and says, where are you coming from? Are you okay? Are you perfect? Are you all right? Right. That child has no past. It's just coming from fresh from the mother's womb, blood stained. And the same way, when we come to Christ, we have no past. Hallelujah. Next one. Oh, I love this one. Chapter 1, the book of Colossians, verse 20. You can write them down. Look at them later. I will help you. Okay. Talking about Jesus. The Father, by Jesus, to reconcile all things to himself by him. Whether things on earth or things in heaven. Let's get together the last part of it. What does it say? Having made peace through the blood of his cross. You know, I don't know about you. Once in a while, I feel as if God is angry at me. Once in a while, I feel that maybe God, I may not really, God may just not like me this. Maybe just tired. It's just, maybe, you know, Tuna Moses is not always perfect too, you know. But then I remember that Jesus' blood is peace. Pastor, why is it so important to know this? You know, in the Old Testament, the high priest will come once in a year with blood and go to the most holy place where the Ark of the Covenant is. He will come like that and sprinkle blood 7 times on that top mercy seat. He does that 7 times, he walks away. God is no longer mad with his people for the next 1 year. The blood of animals will cover that. But the blood of Jesus guarantees us for eternity. He doesn't have to shed his blood every year. Every priest stands again and again. But Jesus shed his blood and sat down at the Father's right hand forever. He doesn't have to get up and do the job again. Next one. Beautiful. This you need to see. I talk about this at the beginning. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. When God was making the Old Testament, are you here, everybody? Don't get bored. This is where your salvation is. You know, the pastor talks something interesting. You know, this is the interesting thing. You know, I'm a faithful manager, master, I'm a servant, so I'm going to deliver my job, or else I'll be questioned and be queried in heaven. This is what's important. Don't worry, they put on the gem to take care of that. I think it's been. Now, this is getting interesting. Okay, just put on the gem, take care of that. You know, those fans make a lot of noise, man. I like this hairy silence. Oh, he's back. The noise is back. Pastor, you better be back home. I'm already feeling hot. Hell is hotter. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's start from verse 11, maybe to make it clearer. But Christ came as a high priest of the good things to come. Christ, you know, they have high priest under the Old Testament, the topmost priest who organized the tabernacle and see to the sacrifices and offerings of the people. But that high priest will do one job, like I just told you, once a year, he carries his own blood, or no, it's the animal blood, go down there and then step in and then put it, bam, bam. Those days, because if you mess up with that, you can die. So, and if you die there, if you go and pick them, both of you will die again. So, they tie a rope to the leg of the high priest. And they put bell, jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle all the way. You don't hear any jingle bell all the way anymore, he's dead. So they use the rope to pull him because he can't go down there. You go down there, you also join him. So that high priest with all caution and carefulness, will shed the blood, do the right thing, and then move his heart, praise God, every year. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. There is none of this. See, that high priest went to the physical tabernacle made by Moses there. But there is a tabernacle, there is the heavenly sanctuary itself. That's a heavenly sanctuary where God, the center of the universe, the throne room of God, where every case is settled. So Jesus took, he went there as high priest for us. Next verse. And not with the blood of goat and calves, but with his own blood. When he, remember when he rose from the dead? And Mary saw him. Remember Mary Magdalene? And he said, don't touch me. Am I right? He said, don't touch me. I've not yet ascended to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. So Jesus, after he rose from the dead, his next action was to take his blood to the heavenly sanctuary. So while he rose from the dead, you know, he rose from the grave and he came out, and Mary saw him and he said, I'm on my way. Now, by the evening, he had gone and come back and he said, touch me. Handle me now. Are we here? But so that moment, Jesus walked into the heavenly throne room. He entered there with his own blood once and for all, having obtained timeless, everlasting, never-ending redemption.
Pastor, I really don't understand that.
You will never understand that. You will never understand how your dad pay your school fees. If your dad has been paying your school fees, your mom and you never understand what they went through. You will never. Just go to school and pass away. I'll never know to see upon. You will never know. You will never know. You never know the agony. He obtained, look at next verse. And for if the blood of bulls and goats that time and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean, when they finish, they will take the animal, kill it and burn it, and they put that ash inside water and sprinkle the people and they get clean. And will sanctify them to the flesh purifying. But look at next verse. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. This blood goes down deep within you and do a thorough work inside of you. Not psychology. Psychology will just do some work. ID and what else? Ego. This thing goes beyond ego and ID. It goes down deep, deep. See, many of you over here, the trouble is you've never received the blood of Christ within you to cleanse you, to welcome the blood. Close your eyes and say, I welcome your blood to do his work in me. Father, thank you for your blood working in me, changing my consciousness, changing my conscience, working on my conscience. I welcome your blood, making me all right on the inside. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for the blood. Thank you, Father, for the blood at work within us, making us willing and worthy within us. Clap your hands for Jesus. Amen. You know, a man went to heaven. I think it was 1950. That was how many years ago? Almost 73 years ago now. His first time he saw Jesus, he said his eyes were so lovely. He said, when you look into his eyes, it's like you're looking to ocean of love. He said, when you look at him, you think you are the only one. You are the only one he loves. And he said, when he looked at Jesus' face, he just fell on the floor. And he said, Lord, no one is worthy. I'm not worthy to look at your face. He said, he had a stern voice. Get up! He said, get up! He stood up. What did that do? He said, no, you are worthy. My blood has cleansed you. You see, the blood of goats cleansed people of Israel and made them people of God. The blood of Jesus cleansed us and make us eternal people of God. Are you listening here? Tell yourself, I'm a blood-bought child of God. I'm a blood-washed child of God. Praise God. Look at next verse. And for this reason, he's the mediator of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of transgression under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of what? Eternal inheritance. If you share the same blood from the same mother, you can have the same inheritance. Praise God, somebody. Hallelujah. Let's start rounding up. Let's go to the next one quickly. Oh, Pastor, when are we going to finish? 10:30.
Pastor, can we stay in that church long like that? Today you will do that. Pastor, I want to go.
I'll let you go. Relax. I'm just joking. Hebrews 10:19. I love this one. Praise God. I love this one. Hebrews 10:19. Quickly. Therefore, brethren, having what? Boldness to enter where? The holiest by what? Whoa! I have boldness to enter. You march in. What is it? Stop! I can't stop. I want to see God, the Father. Why? Blood of Jesus. Praise God. See, when you don't have this, you are always recanting your sin. You are always recanting your sin. Can you imagine having a friend? You got a friend, you know, you owe him money. 750K, you can pay. And then, the money is paid. And the second day, you go and say, Emma Dupeo, Abalo on you, Ogao, while I wait, you know, you pay the money now, you can pay. See, when you see Christians who are still conscious of messing up and weakness and pain and all that kind of stuff, they are not aware of the blood of Jesus. Do you hear me? They're not aware of the blood of Jesus. Oh, God, God is coming. Oh, God, what am I going to do? Hey, you know, all this. Yeah, I respect God. I honor God. But I have boldness by the blood of Jesus. Tell yourself, I'm bold by the blood of Jesus. I can go to God anytime. Praise the Lord. Lift your hand. Let's thank him for the blood. Hallelujah. We can enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We have access 24/7, 365 to the Father. I mean real access. Not just access to come and go, but access to belong. Hallelujah. Praise God. Don't forget that word, boldness. Look at what boldness. Boldness to enter. Challenges will come. You must have this. You must have this family place in you. Whatever happens to you, you can go to God. Praise God, somebody. What I say? Whatever happens to some of you over here, your problem is that you think like this. You know, whatever happened to me, maybe Pastor Amel, Pastor Bato, Amalosi, come Bato, Amalosi, come with you. No. You see. You should be so aware of this that nobody needs to approach God for you. Oh, they can approach God with me, oh. Are you hearing me? They can approach God with me. Pray with me. But I'm not just saying, pray for me. No. I can go to the Father myself. Hallelujah. Oh, Hebrews 12:24. We're going to Hebrews, last book of the Bible, the last books of the Bible. Let's go. What is it? Hebrews 12:24. To Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, the blood of Jesus, that speaks what? That speaks what? I'm not hearing your voice. That speaks what? Down. Oh, which blood of Abel? Genesis 4. Quickly, let's go there. Genesis 4. His blood was shed. Abel's blood was shed, but that blood was crying for vengeance. Are you with me? I said, are you with me? Verse 9. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? He said, I don't know. I'm a brother's keeper. Next verse. And he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Do you know that? I don't get to this. Do you know that the blood of every Christian shed by all this persecution is in heaven? The Bible says their soul, when Jesus was opening the seal, I think the fifth seal or something, or the fourth seal, they opened it and they saw the blood, the souls of Christians who have died crying out to God. God, when are you going to judge the earth for the way they have treated us? God said, relax until your number is complete. That's the blood. Cry to me from the ground. Next verse. So now you are cursed from the earth. But listen. The blood of Jesus is not crying from the earth. It's crying from heaven. And say, blessing, 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 blessing upon all of us. Say, I receive the blessing. I receive the blessing. The blood is speaking blessing. Blessing over my life. Over my heart. Over my soul. Over my body. Over my future. Over my life. Over my family. Over my job. The blood is speaking better things. Better things. Better things. Hallelujah. I receive the voice of better things. I welcome the voice. The voice of guilt and condemnation. It's no longer over my life because Jesus sent his blood and paid. With corruptible things like silver or gold, from what? Mark those words. From what? Aimless conduct received by tradition from your father. Mark those words. In your mind, underline it. Aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. Professor is over there. When he was with his father, before he was born again, the father had aimless conduct of witchcraft and sorcery. And one day they took him. He said, I felt protected, and they put on his head 250 beret. 250, am I correct? Two with broken bottle, with blade, with machete, with cutlass. Correct. One day, 250 beret. He was in the university, not in primary school. So he went back to the campus with a cap, south cap, but really south was covering that thing up. Every of those beret was a mark to be joined with the devil. That's aimless conduct. Aimless conduct. All sort. Your family life. They've done all sort with you. What we can buy you from there. That's my love prayer. No, prayer won't remove it. Look at that verse. Look at this verse. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now you can't find that thing. Oh, brother, today, clap your hands for Jesus. Amen. He came under the blood. Praise God, somebody. He came under the blood. And I like a way I will believe. No, I believe in the blood of Jesus. And it's been paid. Hallelujah. Praise God, somebody. Aimless conduct. Ah, that didn't make a wooloo. Oh, no, wooloo. Oh, they say, Lord, you are wooloo because Christ Jesus has paid for you. Stop thinking like that. Want to kill for deliverance? Christ delivered you with his blood. Collect that blood and let it wash you away from all that aimless conduct. Amen.
Pastor, if I wooloo my Lord,
according to your faith. Good Lord. If I know, I'm born again. I know, I want to look off him. You know. What's the better? No. Some of us, our parents are Christians that live holy life. And some of them, they are not really born again, but they are not sinners either. They were going to church. They were warders. Like look at this father. They go to church, married only one wife. They went around together. They grew up. When his father died, Protocol Day was crying. Mother died. I didn't cry. I was just looking. Sorry. My father died. I just said, was it Tuesday like that? Service was over. They called me. I'm at the law. I said, do you want to go? I don't want to do. I just looking. When Protocol this father died in the hospital, he was weeping away. I didn't understand. Could you hear me? I was crying so much. My own was a double aimless conduct. Same boat, am I right? They are the same boat, kind of family. Just but boy, come on, let's stop it there. But thank God for the blood of Jesus. Thank God for the glory of Jesus. I've been redeemed. And my new family line is going the right way. Clap your hands for Jesus. What about your own? Tell yourself, I'm redeemed from poverty, from shame, from sickness. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God.
Pastor, when are we going to take communion?
I take communion already. That's the communion. I take communion already. Let's stand up. First John 5. In King James Version, verse 8. First John 5. And there are three that bear witness well. Let's look at the verse before this verse. There are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. That's in heaven. These three are one. Are we here? Are we here? But here on earth, look at this verse. And there are three that bear witness where? The Spirit, the water of the world, and the blood. And these three agree. Praise God. When we say, oh, the blood, oh, the Holy Ghost is saying, correct, correct, correct. Hallelujah. Oh, I got this two last reserved, the last reserved. With me, everybody. I got these two. The last, these two reserved. Don't forget this one. In fact, circle it and make it in capital. Chapter 12, the book of Revelation, verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They not love their lives to death. And they overcame who? Satan. How? By the blood of the Lamb. So you got a mighty weapon. Satan, I defeat you by the blood of Jesus. Praise God, somebody. I defeat you. So sometimes when the devil is pushing you to the corner, I say, I defeat you. I plead the blood. I defeat you by the blood of Jesus. Amen, somebody. So this happening in your office. Satan is rearing his ugly head. You want to mess you up? Satan, I defeat you by the blood of Jesus. Glory. If I say that right now, Satan, you are defeated in my life by the blood of the Lamb. You are defeated. Mark the area. Satan, you are defeated. Which area? Which area? Is it office? Is it home? Is it your body? Is it your finance? Satan, you are defeated. Say that louder. Satan, you are defeated by the blood of the Lamb. Glory to Jesus. I said, glory to Jesus. He says, and by the word, that means I testify to you that I am overcoming you by the blood of the Lamb. That's our own Ogu. That's our own Tabara. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Lift your hands and thank you, Father, for the victory in the blood. The victory is in the blood. The victory is in the blood. Devil's defeat is in the blood tonight. Thank you for the blood. As you said at Calvary. On a Friday that we call now Good Friday. Thank you for that Good Friday. That first Good Friday that you said your blood. As Satan's power demolished and defeated. And thank you that we can take this blood and declare we are victorious. We have the victory through the blood. Satan is putting pressure on you and telling you that I'm not leaving, and it's making this more difficult. Keep yourself steadfast in that blood, like Jesus wear the robe deep in blood. Let your life be deep in that blood. See, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not looking for another option. Your blood of Jesus defeats you. Then night and day, day and night, Satan, you are defeated. Satan, you are defeated. Don't talk to God. Tell the devil, you are defeated by the blood of Jesus, and they overcame him. Overcome and they overcame him. So tell him to his face, night and day. Praise God, somebody. Praise God, somebody. And finally, 5 verse 9, book of Revelation. redemption. And they sang a new song. Say, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you are slain and have redeemed us to who? Have redeemed us to God. You purchased us. You paid for us. And you brought us to who? Brought us to God. Out of where? What's your language? The man that speaks what? Thief or doom or something? Huh? Thief. What do you speak in? Hebrew. What does you speak? It's God has redeemed you from there. Look at this verse. And that blood redeeming us made us what? And on the last day of that Oba, in those days, they don't do it anymore now. I think so. Because they can say they don't do it, they won't be doing it. It's not political. So they will ask him to prostrate for every one of them. One kingmaker say, the ballet. Them to get up. They ask him to sit down. And then they will cook that part of that old Oba that died. But to watch it, that's what Oba Waja. That means the part they take, put it in Aja. You don't do Aja, but Lagos Aja. Oba Yoko, it's Utaloki. Aja is not. It's not Aja in Lagos. So what Jobalaye, lying. So, we are going to rain. Stand up on your feet first. Just imagine you are going to heaven and tell yourself, I'm claiming every benefit of the blood. Every blessing of the blood. I plead the blood. And all its power in every area of my life. I declare that the body was broken for me. And its flesh has been given to me. I will eat its flesh and be strengthened. Jesus said, he that eat my flesh and drinks my blood has life in him. Today, I'm not just eating mere bread. I'm eating the flesh of the Son of God. I'm drinking his blood. And therefore, it's been conferred upon me another fresh mandate to rule and to reign and to take charge in life. Whatever is against me, I overcome you by the blood of the Lamb. And whatever I need, I have access to the Father's throne, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I'm not left to myself here. The King of Kings is watching over this king. This king has King of Kings over him. And today, I celebrate the King of Kings. Messiah is the King. Before we eat, lift your hands and say, Messiah is the Lord. Messiah, Messiah is the King of Kings. Messiah, Messiah
is the Lord.
Lift your hands. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what to do next. Tonight, differently in a way. Can I have our leaders? Our Father, in the name of Jesus, we bring ourselves to this table, this moment, the table of reigning and ruling, of eating the flesh and the drinking the blood of the Master. Thank you for the power of the blood. Thank you for the blood that was bruised for our healing. And as we partake, we receive everything that has to do with the blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. We declare the curse itself cursed. Praise God. We declare the curse cursed. Praise God, somebody. Hallelujah. Okay, so collect the bread and collect the cup. Don't do anything until you have those both and just wait for the next instruction. Hallelujah. Just sing by yourself. Nobody's coming out. Everybody collect your bread. Hallelujah. Somebody said, Pastor, I don't want to take the bread and the cup. How can you be that so silly? With all these blessings, Pastor, I'm not right. Receive that blood and bread to write you to me. You know, say, Lord, I come, forgive me. That's forgiveness in the blood. Forgive me. Do you say, refuse this blessing tonight? Hallelujah. Thank you. something different. Those who are tired, who are worn out, who are not strong enough, they come and remove them. But then Moses told Joshua, take sword, go to the valley, go fight. I'll go to the mountain of God and I'll raise the staff of God in my hand. While I was there, about to turn to come up here a few minutes ago, the Lord said, use those two elements in your hand as your staff tonight. So we're going to stand up on our feet. Carry the cup and the bread in your hand. Wherever you are. The Bible said, as long as Moses carried the staff up in his hand, there was victory for them in the valley. That was a staff, an emblem. We got the real deal, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And his body was broken for us. So, I don't know where you are. I don't know your office. I don't know your position. I don't know what's the grand design around you to stop things. Can you lift up the bread and the cup with your hands? Father, we come to the heavenly. We come to the throne room because we have approached by the blood of Jesus. We have boldness in your presence. And we come to the realm of this world. You said we shall reign on the earth as kings and priests. Lord, whatever the Amalekites, whatever they are planning, grand design, whatever design, we lift up the blood. We lift up the body of Jesus. We say, whatever is due us that anybody want to collect, they can't get it in Jesus' name. Because the blood has been shed as our rights. Whatever harm they want to inflict on us, we declare that the body of Christ has been broken for us. And nothing shall by enemies damage us. We shall not be damaged. Now tell yourself, I will not be damaged. I will not be damaged. Every force, every plan, every design, I shall not be damaged. Rather, I will go higher and higher and higher and higher. And the glory of God will shine. And the fire of God will burn concerning me. I lift up the blood and I lift up the bread. I am free from every bondage. Satan, I've overcome you already by the blood of the Lamb. I'm a success, not a failure. I'm a righteous man, not a wicked man. No curse will fall upon me. No Satan's plan will have his way. No divination against Israel. No witchcraft against a child of God. Thank you, Father. I declare that's my portion because you made it so in Jesus' name. Let's eat the bread. we're leaving next few minutes. I want you to take this verse, sleep with it tonight. Look at it tonight before you sleep. Let it be in your mind. Hebrews 13, verse 20. It was in NLT. Maybe make it clearer. I want you to look at this verse. Now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, and what is it next? A ratified an eternal covenant with what? With his blood. What will you do? May he equip you with all you need for doing his will. May he produce inside of you, through the power of Jesus Christ, every good thing. Good health, good brain, good heart, good marriage, good job, good career. May he produce every good thing that is pleasing to him, and all glory to him forever and ever. Ratified as a covenant by the blood of his son. Let's thank him for the blood. Lift your hands and say, thank you, Father. Ratified tonight. Ratified every equipment, I will need. Spiritual, psychological, physical, material, natural, supernatural. I receive every equipment for me to do the will of God and make progress on this planet. And I receive the blood. As I take that blood, I drank it. That's the power of the blood working in me to produce in me every good thing, every good inclination, every good idea, every good action in me. Before you go.